near. Though vile, they need not fear. With joy, they now may hear. Yet, there is room. Number 15. Availed yourself of it. If not, will your anchor hold? Number 11. Where do you have your anchor cast? Do you have it in Christ, or are you going on in your own independent way? Will your anchor hold in the storms of life? When the clouds unfold their wings of strife, when the strong tides lift and the cables strain, will your anchor drift or firm remain? We have an anchor that keeps the soul steadfast and sure while the billows roll, fastened to the rock which cannot move, grounded firm and deep in the Savior's love.
Hold in the storm.
We
19th chapter of Deuteronomy. Deuteronomy 19. Reading the first 6 verses. Concerning these 6 cities of refuge. When the Lord thy God hath cut off the nations whose land the Lord thy God giveth thee, and thou succeedest them, and dwellest in their cities and in their houses, thou shalt separate 3 cities for thee in the midst of thy land which the Lord thy God giveth thee to possess it. Thou shalt prepare thee a way, and divide the coasts of thy land, which the Lord thy God giveth thee to inherit, into 3 parts, that every slayer may flee thither. And this is the case of the slayer which shall flee thither, that he may live. Whosoever killeth his neighbor ignorantly, whom he hated not in time past, as when a man goeth into the wood with his neighbor to hew wood, and his hand fetcheth a stroke with the axe to cut down the tree, and the head slippeth from the helve, and lighteth upon his neighbor that he die, he shall flee unto one of those cities and live. Lest the avenger of the blood pursue the slayer while his heart is hot, and overtake him, because the way is long, and slay him. Whereas he was not worthy of death, inasmuch as he hated him not in time past. And then a short portion in Joshua chapter 20. We get the names of these 6 cities in Joshua 20, verses 6, 7, and 8. Joshua 20, verse 6. And he shall dwell in that city until he stand before the congregation for judgment, and until the death of the high priest that shall be in those days. Then shall the slayer return and come unto his own city, and unto his own house, unto the city from whence he fled. And they appointed Kadesh in Galilee, in Mount Naphtali, and Shechem in Mount Ephraim, and Kirjath Arba, which is Hebron, in the mountain of Judah. And on the other side Jordan, by Jericho, eastward, they assigned Bezer in the wilderness upon the plain out of the tribe of Reuben, and Ramoth in Gilead out of the tribe of Gad, and Golan in Bashan out of the tribe of Manasseh. These were the cities appointed for all the children of Israel and for the stranger that sojourneth among them, that whosoever killeth any person at unawares might flee thither and not die by the hand of the avenger of blood until he stood before the congregation. Then over in Isaiah 28, this portion has been referred to in our readings, I believe. Isaiah 28, we have what man thinks is a safe refuge, beginning at verse 14 of Isaiah 28. These are the concoctions of man's reason. Wherefore, hear the word of the Lord, ye scornful men, that rule this people which is in Jerusalem, because ye have said, we have made a covenant with death, and with hell are we at agreement. When the overflowing scourge shall pass through, it shall not come nigh unto us, for we have made lies our refuge, and under falsehood have we hid ourselves. Therefore thus saith the Lord God, behold, I lay in Zion for a foundation, a stone, a tried stone, a precious cornerstone, a sure foundation. He that believeth shall not make haste. Judgment also will I lay to the line, and righteousness to the plummet, and the hail shall sweep away the refuge of lies, and the waters shall overflow the hiding place. And your covenant with death shall be disannulled, and your agreement with hell shall not stand. When the overflowing scourge shall pass through, then ye shall be trodden down by it. And a precious word for consolation in Hebrews chapter 6. Hebrews chapter 6 and verse 18. Hebrews 6:18, that by two immutable things in which it was impossible for God to lie, we might have a strong consolation, who have fled for refuge, to lay hold upon the hope set before us. Who have fled for refuge, to lay hold upon the hope set before us, which hope we have as an anchor of the soul, both sure and steadfast, and which entereth into that within the veil, whither the forerunner is for us entered, even Jesus, made an high priest forever, after the order of Melchizedek. One other verse in Psalm 142. Psalm 142 and verse 4. Here we have the prayer of David when he was in the cave, fleeing from Saul, I believe. Psalm 142, verse 4. I looked on my right hand and beheld, but there was no man that would know me. Refuge failed me. Refuge failed me. No man cared for my soul. I cried unto thee, O Lord. I said, Thou art my refuge. Thou art my refuge and my portion in the land of the living. Going back then to Deuteronomy. About a year ago, a little more now, there was quite a scare in Des Moines regarding fallout shelters from the radiation belt that is supposed to be right over Des Moines, because Omaha is the Strategic Air Command base, which would be target number one. And there were many people concerned about it. They were talking about fallout shelters, talking about how to build your own, or how to buy one, or how to have one built. But this is something far more important than that. Many tears have been shed over the scare that had passed through there. But this is something to cause much concern, having no refuge from the coming judgment, having no refuge from God's awful execution of his indictment that has been over this wicked, sinful scene ever since Calvary. Tonight, we have a refuge to present, and that refuge is the Lord Jesus Christ. And we know that every poor soul needs a Savior. Every soul needs a refuge. And we find that here all through God's precious word, as we have concerning this portion here in Deuteronomy chapter 19, there was a necessity for a refuge from the manslayer. And Satan is out tonight to slay men. He's the manslayer. And he's out to slay you, sinner friend, and do you down, and take you into a lost eternity forever, to be in that place of torment and torture with him and the false prophet and the beast, as we read about in Revelation 20. Oh, tonight, all have sinned and come short of the glory of God, and the wages of sin is death. But the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. And we know well enough from what we have in God's precious word that the soul that sinneth, it shall die. And that takes you in. Whosoever sinneth shall die. Your sinners all have sinned and come short, or are destitute of the grace of God, having missed God's mark, Christ, having missed God's goal. And you're going on in the dark, and you're going into a place that's eternally dark, where there's no light and no love, because God is light and God is love. And when you enter that place of doom and darkness, there'll be no love there. Be hatred, weeping and wailing and gnashing of teeth. And darkness so dense as has never been known to man before nor since. Because God is light and God won't be there. And it's going to be your doom and distant darkness from God if you don't have the Lord Jesus Christ as your Savior, as your place of eternal refuge and safety and security. And that's why we have gospel meetings, that these precious things might be made plain. Because God is not willing that any should perish. God is not willing that any should be lost, should be doomed and damned. No, God is waiting in patience and in grace and faithfulness and long-suffering and tender mercies, just wanting you to receive his Son as your Savior and to become one of his children through faith in the finished work of Christ on the cross, having your hearts cleansed by the precious blood of Christ, made fit for God's eternal presence. And that can start tonight. And if you don't have Christ as your Savior, you may go out that door tonight and be struck dead before you get home, and be in a place of distance from God that will never be spanned, never, for all eternity. But the distance is spanned tonight and can be your benefit to take the Lord Jesus Christ, who is the way, the truth, and the life, from this scene, he can take you all the way to glory if you put your faith in him and have him as your Savior. And so it tells us here that souls are under the curse. Take a look at it. You think that you don't need a refuge. You think that you're going to keep the law. I'm just talking with one this evening in the kitchen. Well, we don't just believe that way. Well, just take a look at Galatians 3, I believe it is, and verse 10. A very, very pointed verse as to this question. And it puts it out so plain here that there's no need to be mistaken. It isn't keeping of days. It isn't keeping the law, because you've broken it and you can't keep it. And so here's your definite positive word from God's word as to the result. Galatians 3:10. For as many as are of the works of the law are under the curse. Are under the curse. For it is written, cursed is everyone that continueth not in all things which are written in the book of the law to do them. But that no man is justified by the law in the sight of God, it is evident. It is evident. For the just shall live by faith. And the law is not of faith, but the man that doeth them shall live in them. So, if you're trying to keep the law, you're under a curse. And you're doomed. And oh, what a darkness is ahead of you, dear sinner friend. Whether it be young or old, rich or poor, doesn't matter. God loves you. And he wants you to receive his Son as your Savior, that you might come out from under this curse. That you might have eternal life. You might have joy and peace. Like we've been singing, yet there's room. And will your anchor hold in the time of strife? When those winds of God's judgment blow, and we think of the little upset that they had in Anchorage, Alaska. Oh, that's just nothing in contrast to what will take place. Oh, God is powerful. And God will shake and turn things inside out as a vesture. And he will do it so suddenly that there will be no possibility for escape. No exit. No exodus whatever for you. Oh, tonight there is hope. There is help. And we offer it. It's the Lord Jesus Christ. God's beloved Son. And so here, the slayer was coming out. It says his heart was hot. Well, Satan's heart is hot. He's really out to devour. He's out to destroy. And his heart is hot in pursuit of you. And that's why you're still going on in your sins. You don't want to give him up. No. You don't want to give up because Satan has a hold on you. And he's telling you, just go on just a little longer in your sin and get the best this world has to offer. And then when it comes a little later in your life, then you can consider God and you can consider God's salvation. But don't get in a hurry. Don't be enthusiastic about it. Don't be a fanatic. Just wait. Just wait. And hesitate and neglect, and by and by you reject. That's what will take place. Just neglect is that which adds up to rejection. But remember this, how shall you escape if you neglect so great a salvation? Oh, it's great because of what God has invested in his beloved Son. All that he has done on Calvary's cross, God's best, has been invested. And that's why it's great. Oh, how are you going to escape if you neglect so great a salvation? God's great salvation. Oh, tonight we praise him for that great salvation. But if you won't have it, take a look at what we have in 2 Thessalonians. In that first chapter, the most powerful verse that I know of in God's word as to the outcome of those who refuse God's gospel. It's, I'm so glad that it isn't my word, but that it's God's word. And God's word is true. And God's word will come to pass. And, oh, what a solemn thing to be caught in a dilemma such as we find here in 2 Thessalonians chapter 1, the latter part of verse 7. The middle of the verse, when the Lord Jesus shall be revealed from heaven with his mighty angels, plural, angels, one angel. In Hezekiah's day, he slew 185,000 troops in one night. Here he is coming with his mighty angels in flaming fire, taking vengeance on them that know not God and that obey not the gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ, who shall be punished with everlasting destruction from the presence of the Lord and the glory of his power. Think of it. And that means you, unsaved sinner friend here tonight, if you won't have the Lord Jesus Christ and his gospel. That means you, if you continue to disobey the gospel, you are in line. You are in death row for punishment, eternal, to be delivered by a just and a righteous and a holy God against you and your sin for all eternity, because you won't have God's substitute. You won't have the Lord Jesus. And so you must bear the consequences yourself in your own body for all eternity and in your spirit. Oh, what agony. What torture, what torment. Weeping and wailing, the Lord Jesus says, about 10 times over, and gnashing of teeth. And that's to be not just for a fortnight or for 25 years or 100 years, but that's going to be for all eternity. For all eternity. Think of it. My heart shudders to just even endeavor to contemplate one iota of it. To think of what we have seen of some in suffering and pain, and to think that that's going to be accentuated and never terminated. And that's your portion. You want that. Do you want your loved ones to have that? Are we going on callously and carelessly concerning our loved ones outside of Christ? Think of it. They're going one step nearer, one day is near eternal hell today than they were when this day started this morning. One day near. And we haven't laid ourselves in their pathway. We haven't put a gospel tract in their pathway. We haven't spoken a word of warning. And they're going over the precipice into a lost eternity. And some of them are our own sons and daughters. Oh, tonight, beware. Beware. Because of the wrath of God. Because of the wrath of God, beware. Lest he take thee away with his stroke. And then a great ransom cannot deliver thee. His stroke will come down. Just as surely as he said it in Job 36 and 18. And there is wrath, because they've been reading about it in Thessalonians, and it will come down because it's just being suspended by a very fragile thread. And God will clip the thread one of these days, and down it'll come. And it'll be more than anything ever took place in Anchorage, Alaska, or any other place in the wide, wide world. And it'll be so terrific that men's hearts will fail them for fear. And they will call upon the rocks to cover them, and the dens to protect them. And there'll be no escape. No escape. Oh, what a solemn time. That's why we say there is need tonight for refuge. Oh, flee to the refuge. Flee to the Lamb of God. Flee to God's Christ and be found safe in him. Rock of ages, cleft for sin. Let us hide ourselves safe within. Because there's no other place. There's no other place of safety and security. None whatever. Well, Satan is powerful, and we desire to be delivered from him and his power. And we see here in this 20th chapter of Isaiah that man has made a concoction of lies for refuge. Oh, yes, man does that. He's hiding behind his lies every day, and he reckons the pile isn't big enough, and so he adds some more to it to make it higher so he can get behind it better. And, oh, God said, I'm going to come cut that all down. And I'm going to cut you down too with your pile of lies, your refuge. Man has tried that. Man has tried to hide behind the tree, you know, in the Garden of Eden. Ah, yes. And today man is hiding behind hypocrites. And I've often told him, if you're going to hide behind that hypocrite, you're going to have to be just as crooked as that hypocrite. Just as crooked as a corkscrew. And you can't hide unless you're crooked like he is. And so man has tried to hide behind an apron of fig leaves. And man is trying his various maneuverings and concoctions in Christendom, trying to hide. And what a mess he's made of. And it tells us, you know, let us look at it. In Hebrews 4, I believe it is, it's a very important portion as to being naked before God, because it tells us there in Hebrews 4 and verses 12 and 13, for the word of God is quick, it's living and operative, living and operative, quick and powerful and sharper than any two-edged sword, piercing even to the dividing asunder of soul and spirit and joints and marrow, and a discerner of the thoughts and intents of the heart. Neither is there any creature that is not manifest in his sight, but all things are naked and opened unto the eyes of him with whom we have to do. Think of that. Think of that. You're going to have to stand there before the great white throne, you poor, unsaved sinner friend tonight, naked and open. God sees everything. God knows everything. And there you are. You haven't anything on to hide you. You haven't anything at all. You're thinking perhaps tonight that your good works, your self-righteousness will hide you aplenty from God's presence. Oh no, far from it. There you're going to be, naked and open before him with whom you have to do. And you'll stand there speechless, and you'll hear him say, depart from me, you workers of iniquity. I never knew you. Oh, what a solemn indictment. And it's just that way, and the execution of it is so soon to come to pass, and so sudden. And what will you do when he shall punish thee? What will you do? Where will you go? Where will you hide? Just a couple of weeks ago, I had the funeral of a Mrs. Kelsey in northern Minnesota. She was one of the very few that passed through that awful Hinkley fire when 412 souls were burned to death. She was 78 years old, time of her death. She was in a deep hand-dug well with wet burlap sacks overhead when that awful fire passed through. Trains on fire, school buildings on fire, farms on fire, thousands upon thousands of acres on fire, and no place to flee. 412 souls burned up in just a matter of a short time. Oh, that's just one little fire. One little fire. Think of what we have in 2 Peter 3. When God is going to melt the whole sea and all the works therein, everything reserved for fire and judgment shall be burned up. And then, what wilt thou do when he shall punish thee? Oh, if you don't have a place in Christ, if you don't have a standing in him, you don't have any standing at all. None whatever. Remember that. Well, God's word is faithful. All things are naked and opened unto the eyes of him with whom ye have to do, and you're going to have to do with him, and you're going to have to do with him individually. We can't do it for you. We would if we could. We've been praying for you in the prayer meeting. We plead to God that you might have your soul tenderized, that the Holy Spirit of God might have his way in your heart, that you might surrender to Christ, you might receive him as your Savior. For as many as received him, to them gave he power, right, authority to become children of God, even to them that believe on his name, not on my name, but on his name. That name, oh, take a look at it in Proverbs 18 and 10. Oh, that name tells us there about it. A wonderful tower. Proverbs 18 and 10 says there, the name of the Lord. Oh, the name of the Lord. None other name given among men under heaven whereby man can be saved. The name of the Lord is a great tower, is a strong tower, a mighty tower. The righteous runneth into it and is safe. Oh, tonight. Have you run into that tower yet? Have you? Oh, look at that lovely verse. The name of the Lord Jesus Christ, the name of Jehovah, is a strong tower. A strong tower. The righteous runneth into it and is safe. I remember about 13 years ago, Brother Willis speaking about the high towers they have in the rice paddies in China to protect the dear Chinese from the bandits coming up the line. He said they would ring a bell. They could see from the tower, ring a bell or blow a horn or something, and all these people from different parts of the rice paddy would run to this high tower, this strong tower, go in and bolt the doors against the bandits. Oh, tonight isn't it wonderful to have a refuge? Oh, a refuge, sure and steadfast. We read there in Hebrews 6, within the veil, our Lord Jesus Christ, our loving Savior. Oh, His precious blood can cleanse your heart from sin and make you fit for God's eternal presence and make you secure and safe forevermore. Isn't that lovely? He's able. And He wants to do it tonight. And He wants to do it now. He doesn't want you to wait. He doesn't want you to just hesitate one more moment. He wants you to take His Son as your Savior right now. Because now is God's time. God's time is now. So we have here these precious things to encourage our hearts. There is need for this refuge. And God has provided. Isn't it wonderful? God has foreseen the need, and He has provided this wonderful refuge. And so with the manslayer who had slain his neighbor without any premeditation, no hatred in his heart toward him, oh, he needed a place of refuge that he might be safe from this pursuer that's hot on his trail to take his life. Well, we thank God tonight for such a place of refuge. But before we turn to another portion, let us take a look at Revelation 6. And we see there the awful anxiety of man's heart in that closing time of anguish, as we have it there in Revelation 6. And beginning at verse 12. And I beheld when he had opened the sixth seal, and lo, there was a great earthquake, and the sun became black as sackcloth of hair, and the moon became as blood, and the stars of heaven fell unto the earth, even as a fig tree casteth her untimely figs when it is shaken of a mighty wind. And the heaven departed as a scroll when it is rolled together, and every mountain and island were moved out of their places. And the kings of the earth, and the great men, and the rich men, and the chief captains, and the mighty men, and every bondman, and every freeman, hid themselves in the dens, and in the rocks of the mountains, and said to the mountains and rocks, fall on us, and hide us from the face of him that sitteth on the throne, and from the wrath of the Lamb. For the great day of his wrath is come, and who shall be able to stand? I have here my hand a little sketch, what some of you perhaps have passed over, known as the Frank Slide up in Canada. We've gone over the top of this city several times, and it tells us about this awful disaster. Well, this slide took place in April 29th, 4:10 in the morning, 1903. A gigantic wedge of limestone, 1,300 feet high, 4,000 feet wide, 500 feet thick, crashed down from Turtle Mountain and destroyed the town of Frank. 70 million tons of rock swept over 2 miles of valley, taking 60 lives and burying numerous homes. The mine and railway, along with 3,200 acres of fertile land to a depth of 100 feet, in 100 seconds. And that's just one little thing that took place back there. We've gone over the top of that place, and they tell us that there are people down there that never even try to dig them out. There they are. Well, in this day, reading about in Revelation 6, they'll just invite something like that. They'll just invite those Turtle Mountains to fall on them, and nothing will take place. They'll have to face God's judgment. No place of refuge. Only one little baby was rescued out of this whole dilemma, and they named her Miss Frank. Oh, it makes your heart shudder to think of what took place that morning while they were still in bed. But, oh, there's something worse going to take place. Dear unsaved soul, if you don't take Christ as your Savior, what a terrible time is ahead of you. And we find here in this 142nd Psalm, David said, I looked on my right hand and beheld, but there was no man that knew me, and no man cared for my soul. We do care for your soul tonight here, sinner friend. We do. We love you. And God cares for your soul more than we do. Ah, he does. Because he's proven it by sending his Son to be your Savior. He says, I looked and I beheld, but there was no man that knew me. Refuge failed me. Refuge failed me, and no man cared for my soul. Oh, tonight, you can't say that no man cared for your soul, because this gospel meeting has been convened for your convenience, for your purpose, for your help, for your soul's spiritual welfare. We do care for your soul. And if refuge fails you, it won't be God's fault. It'll be your own, because you have failed to avail yourself of the refuge that God has provided in the Lord Jesus Christ, dying on Calvary, his side pierced, from whence blood and water flow, that you might be cleansed from sin and made fit for God's eternal presence. Oh, isn't it lovely? God's provision. But oh, the sight so strangely sad. God beseeching, but man refusing to be made forever glad. That's a sight that's sad tonight, that souls go out in their sin and won't have the Savior. That's the sight that's sad. Well, we have here God's wonder provision. We heard about it last night in John 3:16. God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever, that takes you in, whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. Isn't that lovely? And the Lord Jesus said, verily, verily, I say unto you, he that heareth my word and believeth on him that sent me hath everlasting life, and shall not come into judgment, but is passed from death unto life. Isn't that lovely? Death unto life. And you can have that transaction made tonight in your heart, if you will. Just have the Lord Jesus as your Savior. And so we know that God is waiting, and we don't know if he's going to wait until morning or not. We can't say he's going to wait until midnight. We couldn't guarantee that the Lord Jesus wouldn't come before 2 minutes from now, or even 1 minute from now. He may come before we take another breath. He may come any second. Are you ready? Are you ready? Have you had to do with the Lord Jesus Christ concerning your sins? Or are you just hoping so, thinking so, guessing so? Maybe it'll be all right. I don't know. Hope so. Oh, don't go on like that. Don't gamble like that. Be sure right now. Be dead sure that you know the Lord Jesus is yours, and you have a clear title to glory, and that all is well with your soul. Be sure. Well, God has made a provision. Rich in mercy. Yes, indeed. God commendeth his love toward us, that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. I know 44 years ago, the Lord Jesus had come, I'd have been doomed forever. But I'm so thankful that he waited for me on the little farm in southern Minnesota, that he waited for me, and that he wrought in my soul, and he pled with me, his Holy Spirit taking the word I'd heard for the first time in the gospel. And many of you tonight don't know what you have to be thankful for, that you can hear the gospel in your young years. I didn't. But oh, how good to know the Lord Jesus as my Savior. And I can recommend him to you. He saves, and he keeps, and he satisfies. And he's never failed me. I've failed him many times, but he never fails. And he will never fail. He cannot fail. And so tonight, take him as your Savior, your loving Savior. And so we find here, let us turn over to Romans chapter 3. We get the scope of this refuge. Oh, it's a wonderful scope. And we thank God tonight that this scope is still in operation.